This is the Voice of America, broadcasting throughout the world with continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 11, man's first landing on the moon. Apollo 11 is now some 2 hours and 28 minutes into the flight, moving over Carnarvon, Australia. Just 1 minute ago, we had a go decision to fire the big S-4B third stage rocket to send the spacecraft out of Earth orbit and on its way to the moon. The flight of Apollo 11 began 2.5 hours ago at 13 hours 32 GMT with a flawless launch of the huge Saturn V rocket on pad 39A at Cape Kennedy.
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3,
there's the fire.
2, 1, 0, all engines
there it
running.
Is. It is burning,
lift
it's
off.
Moving.
We have a liftoff, 32 minutes.
The rocket is lifting off the pad.
Apollo 11.
It yawed slightly, it's cleared the tower.
Power cleared.
Okay, we got a roll program.
Houston takes over now.
Strong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper heading.
It's lifting beautifully into the sky. A typically beautiful Saturn V launch. What a roar. A great flame over twice the length. Here comes the roar.
The launch of Apollo 11 at Cape Kennedy 2.5 hours ago. In about 15 minutes from now, a critical event, the second firing of the third stage S-4B rocket to put the Apollo 11 spacecraft on its path to the moon. And just over a minute ago, we had that go decision to fire that rocket in about 13 minutes from now. But let's get a first status report now from correspondent Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy.
We're listening to Mission Control now. Let's tune in that and then follow it up.
They're going to try uplinking both on S-band and on VHF this time. So if you turn your, make sure your S-band volume is turned up, we appreciate it. And we believe that we'll have continuous coverage from now on through the TLI burn. Over.
Oh, very good.
This is through Carnarvon, Australia. Astronaut Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins getting ready for translunar injection for the burn, for the five-minute burn, the second burn of the S-4B rocket. The thing which will add some 3,000 meters per second to their speed down over the Pacific Ocean and begin them swinging away from the Earth toward the moon. This comes at 2 hours 44 minutes into the flight, some 15 minutes from right now. I beg your pardon, 13 minutes from right now. Here at Cape Kennedy, everything is very, very quiet. We're all listening to those signals coming back from space through the Mission Control Center in Houston. The mission is progressing well. The spacecraft is now over the Australian continent, 2 hours and 30 minutes after liftoff. It just passed across Perth, Australia. It is now going across Central Australia, and within the next 12 minutes, it will pass across just south of Townsville, out over the Pacific Ocean, and then the TLI burn will come south of the Gilbert Islands. That's the status, Bill. We will stand by for more transmissions from Apollo 11 as it's preparing for that next burn to send it away from Mother Earth.
And as we move closer to the time for the firing of that third stage rocket, we'll return to Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy. This program is originating in Washington. We will return to our live Voice of America coverage of the mission of Apollo 11 following this report of late world news.
India's acting president, Giri, says he will resign shortly to prepare for next month's presidential election in which he will be a candidate. Our correspondent reports from New Delhi that India's deputy premier and finance minister, Morarji Desai, resigned after Prime Minister Indira Gandhi took over the financial portfolio. The resignation follows Mr. Desai's opposition to nationalization of Indian banks and tighter state control over imports, steps favored by Prime Minister Gandhi. Lebanon said an Israeli patrol this morning penetrated 1 kilometer into Lebanese territory near the village of Majidya and blew up 3 houses. There is no word from Israel on the incident. A Lebanese military spokesman in Beirut said United Nations observers are investigating. Israel reported one of its soldiers killed in dusk-to-dawn exchanges of gunfire across the central section of the Suez Canal last night. A team from the Organization of American States is investigating the fighting between El Salvador and Honduras. There is no immediate report on the team's progress following its arrival in San Salvador last night. El Salvador and Honduras both reported fighting at several points inside Honduras yesterday. El Salvador said its troops had captured the town of Nueva Ocotepec. Honduras denied that its troops had surrendered the western border town. Reports said El Salvador's troops also were penetrating through the eastern section. Kenyan leader Tom Mboya, who was shot to death on a Nairobi street earlier this month, reportedly felt increasing fears of assassination a few months before his death. Correspondent Joseph Lelyveld said in Wednesday's New York Times that the former Minister of Economic Planning and Development confided his fears to 3 American friends in March when he was in New York for a United Nations conference. According to the Times story, Mr. Mboya's friends offered to help him hire a more professional bodyguard. The Times quoted one of America's friends as saying the killing without question was political, but that it had nothing to do with communism or any external force. Continuing religious strife resulted in the injury of a policeman and 8 arrests in Northern Ireland's capital city of Belfast Tuesday night. Meanwhile, tension also prevailed in Londonderry and Dungiven, cities that have experienced 4 days of clashes between military Protestants and militant Protestants and the Catholic minority in the semi-autonomous British state. That is the news from the Voice of America newsroom. This is Paul Parks reporting.
From the VOA Apollo News Center in Washington, the Voice of America is broadcasting live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11, now 2 hours and 36 minutes into its flight. In about 8 minutes from now, we will have another critical phase of this lunar landing flight, the restarting of the third stage S-4B engine, still attached to the Apollo 11 spacecraft. This big engine will burn for about 5 to 6 minutes, increasing the speed of the spacecraft from 27,500 kilometers per hour to some 38,953 kilometers an hour. Escape velocity to allow the spacecraft to escape from the Earth's gravitational pull, putting it on a free return path to the moon. By free return, we mean that after the S-4B rocket fires, it will send Apollo 11 on a course that would take it to the moon and, if no other maneuvers were made, circle the moon and return the craft to Earth, thus a free return. Perhaps at this point we should identify ourselves. I am William McCrory, reporting from the VOA Apollo News Center in Washington. Correspondent Rhett Turner is reporting from Cape Kennedy. Here in our news center, I'll be joined by my co-host, Norman Guerin, and by our expert consultant, John Hammersmith of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Our other space expert, William Land, an Apollo missions engineer, is standing by at the Cape Kennedy launch site. Now, let's get a further report on the progress of Apollo 11 from Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy.
And let's go again to Mission Control.
We had that previously. Okay.
That was Buzz Aldrin. We're getting good, clear communication with the spacecraft down over Australia.
Time is 6 indication on time. This is Houston, roger out.
That was Mike Collins saying we got an indication of something on time. I will try to interpret some of these communications if they seem just a little fuzzy. This is a very good voice signal, though, for a low Earth orbit tracking. And they're over the Carnarvon station, some 6 minutes from now until that translunar injection, TLI burn. Bill Land, exactly what are those astronauts doing at this moment in preparing for this?
Well, Rhett, the final preparations that they're going through right now are a matter of monitoring all of the indications that they've got of the system's operation and also the indications of the burn time, that is, the time to go to the burn. Now, they'll watch that clock countdown on their computer and monitor all of the lights and indications up to that point, and if everything is good, they will punch a button called the proceed button, and that will then permit the engine to burn on schedule with the computer and take them on a translunar trajectory.
You know, we can hear the noise of the Mission Control Center from the Mission Control, that air-to-ground signal. I would explain to many of our listeners around the world that much of the noise they're hearing may not be their shortwave radios. It may be just this air-to-ground communication coming down from Australia. If the astronauts say anything, we will hear it right now. Yes, Bill.
Well, I was going to say, Rhett, that really that noise that you hear is receiver noise, and the circuit itself is very, very clean, and the communications are excellent, both VHF and unified S-band communications.
Also, let's see. Now, 4 minutes until that burn occurs. The velocity to be imparted to the present orbital velocity, some 10,435 feet per second. That will be some 3,000 meters per second. It should increase the speed of the spacecraft to about 35,575 feet per second. That will be about 38,080 kilometers per hour. Telemetry on the booster. Let's go back to Washington.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Now 2 hours and 41 minutes into the flight. Just about 4 minutes from TLI, translunar injection. While we're waiting for further reports from Apollo Mission Control, here are the broadcast bands for this live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. In Europe, the 11, 13, 16, 19, 31, 41, and 75-meter band shortwave, and 251 meters medium wave. To Latin America, the 11, 13, and 16-meter bands. For Africa, the 11, 13, 16, 19, 25, and 49-meter bands. We are broadcasting to the Middle East on the 13, 16, 19, and 25-meter bands, and on 238 meters medium wave. To South Asia, on the 13, 19, 25, and 41-meter bands. For East Asia and the Pacific, the 16, 19, 25, 31, 41-meter bands short wave. Those are the broadcast bands for the Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Bill?
We're now about 2 minutes away from translunar injection, the firing of that big S-4B rocket, the refiring of it. Let's call in Rhett Turner again at Cape Kennedy, and perhaps a late report from Mission Control.
We're still monitoring Mission Control. I can hear the sound. If they say anything, we will hear it.
Apollo Control, we're 2 minutes from ignition now.
2 minutes from ignition of the rocket. The burn time on the engine should be about 5 minutes and 20 seconds to increase the speed to some 38,000 kilometers per hour. If you hear any communication, the spacecraft has now moved across Australia out over the Pacific.
At present altitude about 108 nautical miles. We expect to be at an altitude of 177 nautical miles at cutoff.
In other words, it will pick up altitude during the burn, and then begin to swing.
Right, the velocity 25,560 feet per second. And we're a minute from ignition.
That's
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Slightly less than 1 minute to ignition, and everything is go.
Bruce McCandless, another astronaut, the capsule communicator. That's the voice saying 1 minute to go. Jack Riley, also the voice of Mission Control for the press. Less than a minute to go before that burn begins, and Apollo 11 begins to swing away from the Earth. Here at Cape Kennedy, there are still several hundred newsmen on the press site at the launch pad, listening and watching for this event before they leave for Houston, before they move on to other parts of the story. It's a blazing hot sun here on the sands. Ignition. That came from the spacecraft.
We confirm ignition, and the thrust is go.
We confirm ignition and the thrust is go. That was from astronaut Bruce McCandless in Mission Control, confirming that the burn on the rocket is beginning. They're out over the Pacific Ocean, moving in
guidance
a...
Guidance looking good.
Guidance looking good, says Mission Control.
Velocity 26,000 feet per second.
26,000 feet per second. They're south of the Gilbert Islands, and they will swing up just south of Hawaii as they begin to leave the Earth. When they come back across the United States, they will be at a considerably higher elevation, several hundred nautical miles above the Earth, headed toward...
Apollo 11, this is Houston at 1 minute. Trajectory and guidance look good, and the stage is good. Over.
Apollo 11, Roger.
Armstrong acknowledged that transmission. Apollo 11, Roger, he said. Still about...
Coming up on 27,000 feet per second.
27,000 feet per second velocity now, beginning at about 25,560 feet per second, moving past the Gilbert Islands. Should be slightly southeast of the Gilbert Islands now. We will be hearing communication through tracking ships there in the Pacific Ocean. They're out of range of Australia.
Telemetry and radar tracking both solid. Velocity 27,800 feet per second.
Tracking ship Mercury. Relaying a very clear signal and possibly listening to our broadcast back there in the Pacific too. As the spacecraft moves across the Pacific.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Thrust is good. Everything's still looking good.
Roger.
Thrust is looking
We're
good.
We're 2.5 minutes into this burn. Still have another 3 minutes to go.
And there's the report from Jack Riley, keeping us informed. Spacecraft has been off the Earth for 2 hours and 47 minutes now. Burning the rocket to send them out of Earth orbit toward the moon.
And velocity exceeds 29,000 feet per second, building up toward 30,000 feet per second.
Should be leaving the range of the tracking ship Mercury now. Moving into an area covered by another ship called the Huntsville.
Present altitude 115 nautical miles.
Speed continuing to build up. They're going toward...
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Around 3.5 minutes. You're still looking good. Your predicted cutoff is right on the nominal.
Right on the nominal, meaning it should
Roger,
occur...
Apollo 11, go.
should occur on time. That was Neil
Armstrong. 1,200 feet per second now.
Neil Armstrong acknowledged, Roger, Apollo 11 is go, in a succinct and quiet statement.
Altitude 125 nautical miles.
You will always notice the voice of Armstrong will usually be rather soft, quiet, and quite succinct. Mike Collins has just a bit more of a youthful quality.
Velocity 32,000 feet per second, altitude 130 miles.
And astronaut Buzz Aldrin's voice has a somewhat deeper quality. I'll try to identify them as we hear them. About one more minute on the burn.
If our 1 minute left to burn. Velocity's 33,000 feet per second, altitude 142 and a half nautical miles.
33,000 feet per second, going for 35,575 feet per second, some 38,000 kilometers per
Apollo
hour.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. You are go at 5 minutes.
Go at 5 minutes. About another 30 seconds of this burn. Adding energy to the total system.
34,000 feet per second now, altitude 152.
Nautical miles above the Earth. They've raised that from 100 to 152 just during this 5 minutes of rocket burn time. Should be coming up on the conclusion of the burn now, any second. We'll stand by for that and confirmation of the trajectory.
35,000 feet per second.
Almost there.
Cut off.
Engine cut off.
We're showing velocity 35,570 feet per second. Altitude 177 nautical miles.
177 nautical miles, that's cut off at just 5 feet per second off the expected velocity of 35,575.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. We show cut off and we copy the numbers and now 62.
That was astronaut Bruce McCandless in Mission Control speaking directly to the astronaut crew in Apollo 11.
Apollo 11, Houston, do you read?
They're busy. Waiting for confirmation of the burn from Neil Armstrong. The noise you hear is the sound of the radio signal coming back to Earth from the spacecraft.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. Do you read? Over.
Roger, Houston. Apollo 11. We are reading a VI of 35579. EMS was plus 3.3, over.
Roger, plus 3.3 on the EMS. And we copy the EVI.
Bill, what does that 3.3 on the EMS mean?
Well, it just tells them that according to the onboard display, they're 3.3 feet per second high on their velocity.
That's according to the onboard readings on the spacecraft.
That's right.
That's still a very accurate burn, though, isn't it, considering the amount of energy imparted into it?
It's extremely accurate, and certainly a high velocity of that magnitude won't hurt them one bit. That can be corrected out with a very, very small surface propulsion system burn later in the translunar coast, and as a matter of fact, it will put them in better stead as far as the third stage is concerned in its route into a solar orbit.
We'll probably be hearing some more confirmations of this from the spacecraft. That was Buzz Aldrin, just a moment ago, who answered Bruce McCandless' call and read back that their onboard readings for the velocity of the spacecraft were 35,579 feet per second. That's their reading of the velocity. That would be over 38,080 kilometers per hour. Mission Control, we're continuing to monitor.
Houston, Apollo 11 and Saturn gave us a magnificent ride.
Roger, 11, we'll pass that on, and it certainly looks like you're well on your way now.
That was one of the good quotes of the day. Houston, Apollo 11.
That was Neil Armstrong praising the launch vehicle.
Neil said that Saturn gave us a magnificent ride.
And that it did, Red.
We have no complaints with any of the three stages on that ride. It was beautiful.
Roger, we copy. No transients at staging of any significance, over.
That's right. It was all a good ride.
Houston, Roger out.
Again, that was Neil Armstrong saying that there was nothing wrong with the way that the systems performed, that the engine burned properly, and there was nothing wrong with that ride. By that, he meant the burn of the rocket. His first quote there, that Saturn gave us a magnificent ride.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. For your information, we expect the maneuver to separation attitude to begin at 3 plus 05 plus 03 and to be completed at plus 09 plus 20. Separation at 3 plus 15 plus 00.
Bill, did you happen to hear any of those? We might copy them on our flight plan quickly.
Roger.
Here.
Time to begin maneuver is 305.03, complete 309.20, and separation 3 plus 15.00.
Roger, that separation should be 3 plus 15.03. Meyer and reading up.
Those are times which the next maneuvers will be performed. We've got them down too. That's the separation maneuver. And
this is Apollo Control, the velocity falling off now. Immediately after shutdown, we're showing 34,000 feet per second now, but the altitude building, 512 nautical miles.
They're now over the mid-Pacific.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. All the booster functions are proceeding normally. The sequencing is in good shape, and it doesn't look like they're having any problems at all. Over.
Roger.
Just southeast of Hawaii, within the last minute, the spacecraft, as it's gaining altitude, some 500 miles now above the surface of the Earth, has just passed south and southeast of Hawaii, headed toward the U.S. mainland. And you heard some figures going up to them from the ground. Bruce McCandless passing them up. Buzz Aldrin copying and repeating for times for the separation maneuvers.
This is Apollo Control, and we're showing orbital weight now, 138,892.9 pounds.
That's the weight of the vehicle with the third stage attached. Of course, the weight will go down considerably when the third stage is separated.
The spacecraft still with the S-4B rocket attached.
That's right.
This is the payload that is injected toward the moon. How much of that will get to the moon?
Well, approximately 110,000 will be remaining with just the two spacecraft and the service module. The attached weight that will go to the moon, and then, of course, the lunar module will be the only thing that lands on the moon. The times that you heard before are the times of going to the docking attitude for the separation of the command module and docking with the LEM and then final separation.
This is Rhett Turner at Cape Kennedy with Engineer Bill Land of NASA helping us explain these events as they are occurring in space out over the Pacific Ocean. We're still on the launch pad at Cape Kennedy. William McCrory in Washington with John Hammersmith also.
Rhett Turner?
Yes, Bill.
If we might come in at this point in our Apollo News Center here in Washington with John Hammersmith and Norman Guerin. We will have the separation of the command and service module from the S-4B, the third stage of the rocket. This operation takes place, in about 15 minutes from now, or is that too much time?
The figures that we got just a few minutes ago from, and we heard Buzz Aldrin confirming them, beginning of separation. All right, Bill, yes, go through those.
Well, the figures we heard were 3 hours and 5 minutes ground elapsed time, which is 7 minutes from now. That's when the S-4B will go to its proper attitude for this maneuver to take place. The attitude will finally be assumed at 3:09 ground elapsed time, and then at 3:15, which is 17 minutes from now, the separation maneuver will take place.
Well, let me go through that operation with you, if I may, in my simple layman's terms. The command and service module, Columbia, will separate from the third stage, the rocket, the S-4B. It will turn around, come back, and pull the lunar module from inside this protective covering, the limb adapter. Pull the lunar module out, that is, dock with it and pull it out, leaving the S-4B, the third stage, alone. Is that correct so far?
That's
so,
right, Bill. That's exactly what happens. And just after it pulls the lunar module away from the S-4B, the third stage, then a separation maneuver of a few feet per second is conducted. And after that, the two are in a coast mode, except that there is a slight propulsive maneuver of the third stage by a venting procedure that will alter its trajectory just enough to keep it separated from the command service module and LEM, and proceed into what we call a solar orbit, or an orbit around the sun.
Well, let me ask John Hammersmith about this venting procedure. I've often confused it with the firing of an engine. It is not a firing of the engine, actually, but getting rid of some of the fuel, is it not, John?
I think, Bill, that the reason it's confusing is because this venting takes place through the engine bell.
Apollo Mission Control.
Apollo 11's distance from Earth, 1,245 nautical miles.
John, you can go ahead with your explanation there on the venting of the...
The terms in which it's described makes it sound as though there is propellant being put into the engine, and makes it sound as though they are getting thrust, and this in fact is the case, and the difference between what is being done now and having an actual firing is that the propellants are not ignited in this particular type of situation. There's no combustion in the chamber.
Well, this puts it on what you call a slingshot trajectory, doesn't it?
Yes.
Sends it on past the moon and into what we call a solar orbit?
There are certain kinds of, there are certain cases where you can run a spacecraft close to a planet, or close to the moon in this case, and use its gravitational field in a manner which actually imparts some velocity to the stage. And that's the reason we're calling this a slingshot. The moon's gravitational field is in effect being used as a slingshot to increase the speed of the stage. And then it goes into what we're calling a solar orbit, and that's nothing more than the same kind of orbit that our Earth is in.
Well, the spacecraft is traveling roughly about 38,900 kilometers per hour now, or has it begun to slow down already in this translunar flight?
Well, it would have begun to slow down already, yes.
And when we reach the moon, that speed will be, what, about 7,000 or 8,000 kilometers per hour?
I haven't gotten that far.
Maybe Bill Land knows. Ask Bill Land down at Cape Kennedy if he has those figures. I guess he's not with us at the moment. Bill Land, if you are with us, we had a question for you.
Go ahead, Bill. I'm with you now.
Bill, what speed will the spacecraft, the Apollo spacecraft, slow down to? Just before it reaches the moon, about 3 days from now.
You're going to cause me to start looking into my notes.
Yes.
However, I do recall it's somewhere around 2,000 nautical miles per hour.
That is the lunar orbit velocity, I believe, after they do the LOI maneuver.
Well, that's also the velocity that slows down to, I believe, prior to speeding up when it enters the lunar influence.
That would make it roughly 3,000. Kilometers, if we translate that.
And if I can find an exact figure for you later, I'll certainly give it to you.
We should be very close now, within about a couple of minutes, to separation. Will we be able to hear communications from the spacecraft, Rhett Turner?
I think we can expect here in about, 4 minutes from right now. The sequence of events is supposed to be this. In 4 minutes from now, the spacecraft begins maneuvering to a position for the separation. In other words, Armstrong, who's now sitting in the center seat, I believe that actually Mike Collins, who's moved over into the left couch by this time, he and Neil Armstrong have swapped seats. Armstrong is now in the center couch with Collins in the left. They begin at 3:05 ground elapsed time, or 2 minutes from now, 1 minute from now, I beg your pardon. They begin the series of maneuvers of placing the combined S-4B spacecraft limb adapter and command service module stack, the combined mass that's still going toward the moon. They begin maneuvering it into an attitude for the separation. And then after about 4 minutes, they should be in that attitude. They will hold the attitude for several minutes, and separation is expected to occur. In other words, actually backing the command module away from the rest of the spacecraft mass and rocket mass. That should occur 11 minutes from now. It would be pure speculation to guess how much we're going to hear from these astronauts. They seem to be intent upon their duties without saying too much about it. We can sort of give you a hack on when they're supposed to go about it and then hope that they transmit some communication to us. In fact, 13 seconds until they're supposed to begin maneuvering to separation attitude.
We're now some 3 hours and 5 minutes into the flight of Apollo 11.
Right now, they should be beginning the period of maneuvering to separation attitude. This to last 4 minutes.
And the commander of the spacecraft, Neil Armstrong, will perform this maneuver?
With Mike Collins in the left couch.
Houston,
here's mission control.
Preliminary data indicates a good cutoff on the S-4B. We'll have some more trajectory data for you in about half an hour. Over.
That was very brief.
That was Bruce McCann. Let's see what acknowledgement he gets. So far, none. They're probably busy working on that maneuvering to separation attitude. Command service modules, separation preparation. That's what's in the flight plan.
Do we have any...
With Mike Collins in the left seat, in the commander's seat, I assume that he is actually doing this maneuvering. And that Neil Armstrong is assisting from the center with Buzz Aldrin watching the system.
Apollo Control, the S-4B has started its maneuvering to the separation attitude.
The radar tracking from the Earth can tell that they are moving it around into a different attitude.
Do we have any estimates as to how far away from the Earth we are
at
the moment?
The last time, the last indication we got was 7 minutes ago. They were 1,245 nautical miles above the Earth. At this point, they would be passing over, just coming up on Baja California, going over the Baja Peninsula, the Gulf of California, and beginning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, coming up near Phoenix, Arizona, pretty soon. They're going to pass across the southern United States, across Dallas, Texas, back out across north of New Orleans, just south of Atlanta, Georgia, and out over the Atlantic Ocean.
At 3 hours, 7 minutes, the velocity is 27,945 feet per second. Distance from Earth, 2,384 nautical miles.
There you are. There's an update on that velocity and distance. They've gone up almost 1,000 miles above the Earth in the last 7 minutes.
To 2,384 nautical miles.
Nautical miles.
That's roughly about 4,000 kilometers, and that's very rough.
About 4,400.
About 4,400 kilometers.
Per hour. That's
away from the Earth.
Miles above the Earth. They're beginning to move up and away from the Earth quite fast there. Still another minute in this maneuvering time, if they are following it according to schedule. We heard one announcement from Mission Control that they can tell here on the Earth that the spacecraft is maneuvering that rocket mass combination around. That's supposed to run until 3:09 elapsed time, one more minute. There's expected to be some docking photography. I'm sure Buzz Aldrin's going to do most of that out the right window, while Mike Collins, as the active pilot, maneuvers the spacecraft in to dock with the limb. That's still coming up some 10 minutes from now or so.
We were supposed to have had some live television pictures about an hour ago during Earth orbit, but apparently that did not come through. Was there any report as to why that did not happen?
They did not get a good TV signal in Goldstone, California. Goldstone got acquisition of signal and then loss of signal before they could lock into a picture. As they came across Cape Kennedy here, the Merritt Island or Mila tracking station.
Apollo 11, Apollo 11. This is Houston, over.
Call from Bruce McCandless. The astronauts have not acknowledged any of this call from the Earth. They are going through the maneuvers on their own.
Apollo 11, Apollo 11. This is Houston, over.
They're busy.
They're rather quiet. Bunch of astronauts, aren't they, as compared to some of the other crews?
They're a busy bunch of astronauts.
Busy, yes.
Hello, Houston. Hello, Houston. This is Apollo 11. I'm reading you loud and clear. Go ahead, over.
That's all, Jim.
Roger, 11. This is Houston. We had to shift stations. We weren't reading you through Goldstone. We show Pyro Bus A armed and Pyro Bus B not armed at the present time. Over.
That's affirmative, Houston. That's affirmative.
That was Mike Collins. Acknowledging that second transmission. They're now just north of New Orleans. They will pass south of Atlanta and out over the Atlantic Ocean near Brunswick, Georgia, in the next 2 minutes.
The S-4B has completed its maneuver to separation attitude.
That's on time, within that 4 minute time frame. And they should hold this attitude for about another 5 minutes before they actually separate and then begin to turn around toward docking. Mike Collins in the left seat, or the commander's seat, performing these maneuvers, and he will complete the docking.
I notice in the flight plan that there's quite a bit of time between the actual docking and when they eject the lunar module from this adapter at the end of the third stage rocket. Is this to give them time to check everything out, make sure everything is working properly?
Bill Land?
Bill, there are connections.
4 minutes away from separation. 4 minutes.
There are connections that must be made between the command and service module and the lunar module through the tunnel. The docking hardware makes contact and they close that up, secure it. And then they have some umbilicals that have to be tied in to the limb from the command module such that...
At 3 hours, 11 minutes into the mission, velocity 26,314 feet per second. Distance from Earth, 3,140 nautical miles.
And this is the Voice of America broadcasting with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Now... 3 hours and 12 minutes into that flight. At the moment, we're awaiting the separation of the command and service module Columbia from the third stage rocket.
As Bill Land was saying, there's a long string of duties to be performed that are associated with latching the command module onto the lunar module.
Yes, Rhett. We might emphasize that one of the things they are going to check is that those latches are very secure.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill Land.
Yes, I was about to point out that the umbilical connections are necessary in order to perform the final separation of the lunar module from the third stage, because electrical power is required to detonate the pyrotechnics that do the separation.
I mentioned the speed slowing down now to about 26,314 feet per second, which would translate roughly to about...
The S-4B is reported in a stable attitude for this separation.
That coming about 2 minutes from now.
I started to translate that into 28,800 kilometers per hour. The speed has come down now from about roughly 39,000 kilometers per hour since the injection into lunar flight.
Flights are less than one-tenth of a foot per second in all axes.
rates less than 1/10 of a foot per second in all axes. That means that it is rotating or moving very, very slowly, almost negligibly.
It means a stable rut for all practical purposes.
Okay.
I had them at an altitude of 5,800 kilometers, that last reading.
During this, when they do go into this latching maneuver, when they go through all of this timeline of events, there's a considerable testing period on pressures in the limb as opposed to those in the command module. You want to make sure they're the same. They will verify the tunnel pressures. They will equalize them actually by opening a small vent between the two. There's quite a period of that. Let's see, from about 3 hours.
1 minute to separation.
1 minute to separation, all right.
Apollo 11, this is Houston, your go for separation. Our system's recommendation is arm both pyro buses, over.
Okay, pyro B coming armed. My intent is to use bottle primary one as per the checklist, therefore I just turned
on. Roger, we concur with the logic.
That was Mike Collins talking to Bruce McCandless, a very clear transmission. Spacecraft now out over the Atlantic, having passed across the U.S. Passed considerably north of Cape Kennedy on this second revolution of the Earth. Up over 3,000 nautical miles above the Earth now, gaining altitude fast. John, had you, with your slide rule, had you converted that to kilometers?
Yes, about 5,800 kilometers as of that last reading, Brad.
And there we have that figure for those of our listeners who follow both the English and the metric systems. This is a little, this is quite a challenge to us to try to follow two measuring systems as we broadcast these things in a, on a real-time basis to you.
John Hammersmith, will the panels of this limb adapter open up at the time the command module docks with the lunar module in order to eject it?
They will open, Bill. I'm not sure the exact time that takes place. You're thinking of the protective cover.
The cover, yes.
Surrounds the lunar module.
Has there ever been any problem with this opening? I remember on one of the earlier Gemini flights, we had some problems.
Yes, we had the problem on one of the Gemini flights where we had it was not an adapter,
it was an
actually
Agena,
a protective shield over the docking mechanism on an Agena, and it didn't open up. And this was found to be due to a procedural error when the thing was assembled. We've not had this problem on any of the Saturn flights.
Awaiting confirmation of the separation maneuver, and I'm sure that as soon as separation is performed, since they can't see it, Mike Collins is going to turn the spacecraft around rather quickly so that he can see that great mass behind him.
And then he has to return, doesn't he, to pick up the lunar modules.
That's right. Then he turns around and lines up his targets with these various optical devices at his disposal in the window of the command module and mounted on the lunar module and brings it in for docking.
How far do they separate then?
Just a few feet. Bill Land, do you know about how far he would move away? Several meters?
They separate just over 50 feet and then turn around and come back in for the docking.
Roger, Houston, now we copy.
There was a quick transmission. It was a little fuzzy. Houston said they copied, but we could not hear.
Roger.
Let's see if we can hear.
We confirm the separation here on the ground.
Separation has been confirmed on the ground.
Those panels that Bill McCrory was talking about are deployed at separation, so those panels are now gone.
They flopped out like wings on a
like
a petals of a flower
or like a peeled banana, but then they fly away.
So that was secondary propellant on Quad Bravo.
Boy,
Roger, we copy.
Houston is copying some very unclear communication as the spacecraft is
stand by
down above the Atlantic test range area, some 5,000 kilometers from the Earth too now, so we're out of touch of one of those big dishes We are not being tracked, or we're not receiving communication through one of the three major tracking antennas, the 85-foot antennas at Madrid, Spain, Honeysuckle Creek, Australia, or Goldstone, California. They're still too low there in this Atlantic Ocean area, going up over 5,000 kilometers from the Earth to be picked up by the big dishes. So some of the lesser tracking stations are looking at them at the moment, and the communication, the voice communication, isn't too clear. Bruce McCandless, a fellow astronaut, this crew, has been following them through simulations of the mission, and he can understand every nuance of the messages they're transmitting at this time. He also knows exactly what to expect them to be saying. It was a little hard for us here at the Cape, though.
It certainly is, Red. It's very difficult now. I do expect, however, that the communications will get better. I think that it may be a problem of uncovering a new antenna and switching over from one antenna to another on the spacecraft that's causing the problem. But the communications certainly aren't the way they should be right now.
In fact, as we're speaking to you, we're hearing a great loud swishing sound. As those signals are as we're losing signal.
Rhett Turner?
Yes.
I think we may have a correction on the positioning of the spacecraft. If you're using those Earth orbit tracks, I don't think they will follow too well. I'm speaking of a map that all of us have here. John Hammersmith was asking about that. John?
Rhett, I was wondering if you were using the revolution plots, which go up through three revolutions. I think as this thing departs the Earth, we'll see that Earth, the progress over the surface of the Earth, slow down, and eventually it will reverse itself.
We're still getting a lot of this mission control noise here. It's almost hard to hear you, John.
Sorry. I was saying, Rhett, I wondered if you were using the revolution plots to position the spacecraft.
We're reaching the point at which that chart will no longer be accurate.
It's no
since
good.
They're
yeah.
going away from the Earth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
They're still in a null from one of those big dishes, though, I assume.
Well, are they using the large dish antennas now for communications? Can anyone answer that?
Our only flight plan indications are the manned spaceflight network. We have not received an indication yet, nor do we see it for several hours into the future, as to which of the major antennas will pick them up.
Now, it should be on a major antenna now, though, because the greater the altitude, of course, the wider the coverage is, and consequently the antennas will hold them for a long, long period of time.
Good point, Bill.
I guess we would be speculating since we're waiting to hear something more.
Well, while
we tried to guess through which station they're transmitting to us.
While we are waiting, we'll be back to you gentlemen at Cape Kennedy very shortly. We have a very interesting interview conducted a short time ago with the former president of the United States, Lyndon Johnson. As a United States senator in 1957, he was one of the first members of Congress to urge adoption of a strong and imaginative space program. Later, as vice president, he helped pilot the program through congressional approval. Today, as we say, he was there at Cape Kennedy when Apollo 11 blasted off for the moon. Later, he told Columbia Broadcasting System newsman Walter Cronkite that America, in just a few days, will realize the objective set by his predecessor, John Kennedy, to put a man on the moon in this decade. Then Mr. Johnson added,
"We must have other objectives. This peace effort is the principal one, I think, in the hearts of every human being in the world. All 3 billion of them can't understand why we have to go on dying and fighting when we can do so many wonderful things. Why it is we can't learn to get along with each other. And it may be that under the leadership of the cream of our young manhood in the space effort, and the President of the United States and the leaders of the space field, that we can bring about a joint effort of some kind. Back in 58, I urged President Eisenhower to say to the other nations of the world, let's all join in a united space program. We've been unable up to now to get other nations to agree, but President Nixon and the administration very shortly will be engaged in the discussions and negotiations with other leaders, and it may be that more will come out of this than we know now.
Well, it's certainly something we can rest our hopes in, even as we rest our hopes in those three men aboard Apollo 11.
Well, as we walked away this morning, I thought of three things that I felt very deeply. Concern for the men and their safety, the great awe for what I had just seen as they took off, and something you don't hear much about these days, but great pride in this country and its ability to set aside partisanship and differences and quarreling among its scientists and among its industry leaders and its government leaders. If been any of that, it's been held to a minimum, and I know very little. But if our industrial people, these great managers of industry, if the laboring people of the country, the government, the scientists, all with the help of the Congress can get together and do a job like this, there's just not anything we can't do. And there's so much that we have yet to do with the hunger in the world, with the sickness in the world, with the poverty in the world. We must apply some of the great talents that we've applied to space to all these problems and get them done, and get them done in the spirit the greatest good for the greatest number.
Former President Lyndon Johnson speaking with Columbia Broadcasting System newsman Walter Cronkite. Rhett Turner?
We just heard from Mission Control that part of this problem that is being worked out at the moment is the locking on of the high-gain antennas with the Goldstone tracking station, which has a very low tracking angle at the moment. And Bill Land pointed out that the high-gain antenna on the spacecraft has to be aligned also now that it's separated. That does take some time. And that's what's going on right now as Apollo 11's command module, Columbia, is beginning to turn around and prepare to dock with the lunar module, Eagle, as the two spacecraft are well on their way toward the moon.
Yes, with the successful firing of the S-4B third stage rocket, the Apollo 11 spacecraft with astronauts Armstrong, Collins, and Aldrin aboard are on their way to the moon, a 400,000-kilometer journey, some 250,000 miles, that will take them slightly over 3 days. They are scheduled to arrive at the moon on Saturday, July 19th at 17 hours 26 GMT. The Voice of America will continue to broadcast full coverage of this and all major events in the flight. Norman Guerin, would you review our VOA broadcast schedule?
The next big event will be the arrival of Apollo 11 at the moon on Saturday, July 19th, and its insertion into a lunar orbit. Our coverage of that event will begin at 17 hours GMT. Then on Sunday, July 20th, we begin 29 hours of continuous coverage at 17 hours 30 GMT from the undocking and descent of the lunar landing craft, the LM called Eagle for this mission, through touchdown on the moon, the 22-hour stay on the moon, including a 2-hour 40 minutes moonwalk by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin. Then, the all-important firing of the Asset engine and redocking with the mother spacecraft, Columbia, some 111 kilometers above the lunar surface. Our broadcast ending at 22 hours GMT on Monday, July 21st.
As we leave the air, the Command and Service Module has separated from the S-4B rocket and will be turning around to dock once again with the lunar module. My thanks to my colleagues, Norman Guerin here in Washington, Rhett Turner, and NASA expert William Land at Cape Kennedy. Edward Hickey at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston will be reporting later on. John Hammersmith, our other NASA colleague, here in our Washington News Center. Stay tuned to the Voice of America for continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. This is William McCrory reporting from the VOA Apollo News Center in Washington. This program has come to you from the United States of America.